Blog Talk Radio.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. Hands of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn.
Tuning in to the Certain Ones Radio Show with your host, Vanessa Richardson, where we aspire to inspire. Visit the Certain Ones at www.blogtalkradio.com/the Certain Ones. Are you ready? Let's go get it.
Hi guys, welcome back to the Certain Ones Block Talk Radio Show, where I'm your host for the hour, Vanessa Richardson. Listen, you guys, we have an awesome, awesome showcase today. Well, you know what? We always do. We have some prolific authors, we have some profound speakers and powerful bishops and ministers and people who have inspiring testimony all stopped by here on the Certain Ones Block Talk Radio Show. Yes, and so excited that you have decided to join us here. So you guys, Listen, tonight we have none other than Bishop George Bloomer, pastor of Bethel. Oh my goodness. He is just a phenomenal man of God, and he's actually, Bishop George Bloomer's taking time out of his busy schedule. As you know, he's in a two-night revival as we speak, but he stopped by to Certain Ones to and motivate us, encourage us, and inspire us like he always does. I'm so excited to have him on, considering the book that he's written is still resonating with readers, authors, even promoters, witchcraft in the pew. And those who've been following his body of work, you are familiar with who he is and what it is that he does to reach the soul, reach the heart, and save the soul. That is his mantra, to reach the heart and save the soul. I'm just so excited to have him join us, Bishop George Bloomer. And of course, we have author, and she's a self-published author and editor, and she's a relationship coach, and she's a love evangelist. I love that. Nikema T. Lee, this is her first time joining us here on the Certain Ones Block Talk Show. You know what? In retrospect, all three of our guests tonight are fairly new and joining us here on the Certain Ones. How about that? So excited about that. So listen, you guys, you know, I always thank you and appreciate you for all you do following us. You guys are awesome. You rock, and I love you from the bottom of my heart. So I need you to go ahead one more time, do this. I need you to go ahead and Facebook this, tweet this, Google Plus this, whatever it is that you have to do to spread the good news that we have some awesome guests on the show tonight, today, okay? So, and also, I named this topic specifically, and I had to take this, watch God move. I had to take this topic. I love that topic. And when I first saw the author who was referred to me by author Dorothy Goings, Watch God Move by Anita DeShield. I had to just morph that topic into this broadcast. Okay? So, again, thank you so much for tweeting this, Facebooking this, whatever it is you have to do, text, whatever it is you got to do to get this segment out, I appreciate your doing it. Okay? So we're waiting for our special guest, Bishop George Bloomer, to join us from North Kakalaki, which is my neck of the woods. Yay! But until then, I'm going to go ahead and get the showcase started with Nikema. She's in the house. And Anita, she's here also. Like I said, I want to make each guest welcome. This is their first time joining us here on the Certain Ones. And I'm so excited to meet their acquaintances. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring Nikema on. I know she's in our virtual studio. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And thank you guys for joining us here. I did not open up the chat room. I want to totally be focused on our guests tonight. So I need you to go ahead and call this number if you're going to want to participate in our audience. The number is 917-932-1607. Again, that number is 917-932-1607. And you must press the number 1 on your keypad. This is indicative that you have a question and a comment for either myself and my awesome guest. And I want to also invite you to visit our website, our magazine website. You guys, it's a movement. The Certain One has become a movement. And I'm so humbled by God, what he's doing. I need you to go ahead and put a pin in this website, www.thecertainonemagazine.com. Again, that is www.thecertainonemagazine.com. I mean, we have some awesome articles in there that is going to inspire, motivate you, influence you to the degree, whether you're aspiring to be a playwright, a doctor, a lawyer, just got, you want to write a book, or you like short stories, because we feature short stories too. We have marriage, inspiration, health. What else we have? Oh, man, just a slew of things. We're very eclectic. So I want to encourage you, admonish you to just go over there and check us out, see what it is we do, that we do. And once you're over there, click on that subscribe button. You do not want to miss one issue. And when I say that, I'm not just Whistling Dixie. We put out some quality grade A work. And we're currently working on making our entity, because right now we're just online. We're currently working on making it published. You want to go ahead and put it in paper and put it in your hands, because some people like reading, they like actual paper, you know, turning pages and all that good stuff. So we're working on that. And those who know me know that I don't just jump into things and do it quickly. I don't follow the Joneses. I put things out there in an orderly decent time fashion, so you will be able to benefit from what we here at the Certain Ones are trying to give you, and that's the creme of the crop. Okay, you guys? So we're waiting for Bishop George Bloom to come in. As I mentioned, he's very busy. He's actually gearing up for his revival tonight. It's a two-night revival. So so excited to have him join us. And yeah, I'm going to go ahead and jump right in. I want Nakima to come in. I want her to explain. I got her bio right here, you guys. But I want her, since it's her first time here, I want her to break bread with me. I'm so excited to have her on here. She's a relationship coach. You know, and I know y'all got a lot of questions about your relationships and all that good stuff. Okay? So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring Nakima on. She has a powerful testimony. That's how I got connected with her. Mr. Tim says, listen, I got to introduce you to this young lady, Nakima T. Lee. She's got a powerful testimony. You need to get on your show. You need to let her talk about it. It's going to inspire and motivate people. You got to bring her on. And you know how I do on a certain one. We bring them on, those who do have testimonies and not afraid to show them. Because your testimony is not to be meant to be hidden. Your testimony is meant to be shared. Okay? So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring her on. Welcome to the show, Sister Nakima. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to have you.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Vanessa.
It's my pleasure, my delight. As I mentioned in the intro, I was like admonished, Vanessa, you got to bring her on. She has a testimony among testimonies. So let's go ahead and break bread. Go ahead and introduce yourself to our listening audience. I do have your bio, but I want you to go ahead and do it. I don't want to sound generic. I want to sound
right.
So go ahead and introduce yourself, and let's jump right into it.
Absolutely. Well, my name is Nakima Lee, and I'm an intimate relationship coach. And basically what that means is that I help people fall in love with themselves so that they can fall in love with others, the very short of it. And the reason why I got into it was because I was always on a search for love. When I was 11 years old, my mother decided that being my mother wasn't something that she wanted to do anymore. And I came home from school one day to find my mother packed, ready to go, and I was unable to go with her. And ever since that, what I call the tidal wave of my life, I was always searching for love, always searching for a sense of security. So I would find myself doing things so that people would never leave me, so that I would never be rejected, so I would never be left alone. And that led me to being on my own from the age of 14. And by the age of 16, I found myself on the street selling my body for money, for food, just the basics of life. Through all of that, I still was able to graduate high school, go off to college. But my mind was never where it needed to be. I was always focused on finding love, finding security, finding someone who would never throw me away. And I kind of lived this sort of roller coaster of a life. And I've gotten married and I've got two beautiful children, but I was never stable. And then one time in 2009, I found myself pursuing my dreams, right? I was out here being an entrepreneur. I had left my $70,000 a year job. I was making about $700 in a full year. I've got bill collectors and eviction notices. And here I am, 31 years old. I have three college degrees and I have two mouths to feed. And it just became so completely overwhelming for me. I dropped my children off, one at my grandmother's house, the other one to their father's house, and decided that I no longer wanted to survive. I no longer wanted to play this thing that they call life, because I had been successful at failing and succeeding and finding disappointment and finding success. And I just was tired of doing it on my own. So in 2009, I decided I didn't want to do it anymore. Found myself in a bathtub full of water with my wrist cut and a body full of pills, and decided that this is where I wanted to end it all. And in doing so, I had a friend who came to me, you know, saw my plea for help on Facebook and was like, do you really want to die? And I was like, yes, I really, truly want to quit. And he pushed me under the water. And it was really so surreal, because I felt free at that moment. I felt like, yes, I can let go. I don't have to do this anymore. I don't have to struggle. I don't have to do anything. And I took a breath And in that breath, I was like, oh, no, I don't want to die. Oh, my goodness, help me up. So when he pulled me out, he said something that just really pierced my spirit. And he said, you don't want to die. You just want the pain to go away. And ever since then, I realized that I just wanted the pain to go away, the pain of having to find my own way and having to have to find my own way for almost 20-something years and making wrong decisions and then recorrecting myself and finding my new way. I didn't want to do that on my own anymore. And what I realized is that I was never really on my own. I was never really by myself. So once I saw that, once I was able to embrace that, I took to 2010 and I just discovered who I was. I edified myself, not just in the Word of God, but also in other teachers who had insight, the things that I didn't know and understand about life. And I really just dialed down into the Nakima Lee of life. And when I came out of 2010, I wrote my very first book, which was 30 Days to Freedom, Becoming Authentic. And it's like a guide to falling in love with yourself, because that's what was missing in my life. And when I learned how to fall in love with myself and to be in love with myself, the universe just opened up. Life got so much brighter and better and beautiful, and I decided to just keep running with that. And here I am today, excited about who I am, excited about the love in my life, excited about where my life is going, and just happy, just truly, truly living a happy life.
Oh, Nakima, you have such a powerful testimony. I'm here. Listen to me. I'm serious. I'm writing down copious of notes. And what I want to hit with you, pinpoint with you very quickly, is your saying, because Bishop Blumer is definitely in the house tonight, and he's in a revival tonight which starts at 7. So I want to bring him on. But I want to pinpoint this with you. I want to talk about the bathtub incident and your way in your book. And I want to talk about that moment, that pivotal moment. Maybe somebody outside feeling that same thing, that I'm successful at failing. I'm tired. I want to give it up. I want to end it. So I want to talk to you about that very briefly when we come back. And I want to talk about your book. How did you find the courage to write that book? Okay. So just hold that right there. And I want to bring you back on. I got to bring you back on. For those who are just tuning in, this is the 31 Block Talk Radio Show. We have a profound guest, Nakima Lee. Powerful testimony. Listen now. I don't want to leave this clip in a cliffhanger moment, but it is what it is. I want you to go ahead and call your friends. Tell them that the Certain One is live on the air. We have some wonderful guests. Bishop Bloom is in the house. Nakima Lee is in the house. I'm so excited to have authors here such as Arnita DeShields. Okay, you guys? So we're going to put a pin in this right quick. We're going to talk about her bathtub incident. She found herself in the bathtub taking pills. She sliced her wrist and she wanted to end it. We want to see how she was able to rebound. And our topic tonight is Watch God Move. So don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. We're going to bring Bishop on, and we're going to bring Nakima back on, and we're going to end it with Arnita DeShields. So we'll be right back, okay, Nakima?
Okay, I'm here.
We're going to bring Bishop on. He's profound. He's an author of Witchcraft in the Pews. I know you guys are familiar with that book, because I definitely am. I remember when I first heard him interview for that book, and then I saw him on Benny Hinn. I had a chill when I read it, had a chill when he talks about it. So we're glad to have him on tonight. Like I said, he's very busy winning souls for the kingdom of God. It's my delight to introduce to you and present to others. It's his first time here on the Certain Ones Block Talk Show, Bishop George Bloomer. Welcome to the show, Bishop.
Good afternoon to your listening audience. A great howdy doody.
Howdy doody from North Kakalaki. I know you're in revival right tonight, so I'm not going to prolong your time over much. So for those who are listening and follow you, let's go ahead and talk about your service that you have tonight. What's going on?
I'm in service every night. Every night,
yes,
someplace. It's been like that from the beginning of the year. And pretty much on a spiritual warfare preacher, and that's not to be confused with a deliverance preacher. And so I have this college called Warfare Ecology, the science of spiritual warfare. And pretty much, you know, when the enemy comes at you, you sit down at the table and you're ready to play checkers, and he's playing chess on the same board. And so he's whipping us, and we don't really know it. So my job or assignment in the body is to fight the enemy with words that that will cut him almost immediately. I don't want to go too deep because my time won't allow me. So I'm here in the revival, and my mandate right now is to share with the body of Christ how to do spiritual warfare in the area of economics.
Ooh,
and
that
says that finances is a defense, and we tend to despise what we desire to have. And so you have that sort of kind of thing going on, and that's what the revival is about.
Ooh,
and we're doing well.
You guys, listen to that. Oh, my goodness, warfare with the economic. Because, Bishop, you're definitely right. We are in a battle when it comes to the economic standpoint. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people who are waging war in that area today. So, Bishop, I know in respect to your time, you're very busy. We actually got a couple of minutes to talk to you. Witchcraft in the pews. I want to talk to people about that. You are chosen to do what it is that you're doing. And let me ask you this. How can one decipher or discern if they're chosen or called to do spiritual warfare? And is there a process to this, to become a soldier?
Again, when we deal with this, that word spiritual warfare, it is used so loosely and so lightly that everybody thinks that they're into it and what have you. And so my whole thing is a little bit different. And I'll just take a quick moment and sort of kind of explain it. The Bible teaches us that, for the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, to bringing into captivity every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm.
You ask the average saint, what is the weapons of warfare? And they begin to tell you what the weapons of warfare is. And they would say, oh, if I would ask you what was the weapons of warfare, you would say what? What would you say the weapons of warfare is?
Me?
Yes,
prayer,
you.
Fasting,
you,
prayer, reading the Bible, faith.
Prayer, fasting, reading the Bible, faith, right. And, of course, I know that, you know that. But if we were a challenge to prove it in the Bible, how would we be able to do it? Right, because there's no scripture that says that prayer is a weapon. That fasting is a weapon, although it is. There's no scripture that actually says that it is a weapon. So now we're up against things that have been taught to us or conveyed to us, inferred to us, that is not the word of God. And so about 80% of what we believe comes out of the gospel of inference. Inference. The scripture alludes to this, or this is what it means to me, and so on and so forth like that. The truth of the matter is this is what the Bible says about the weapons. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So there's nothing you can do carnally to release the weapons in our life. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, which brings us to the second part of the discussion. A stronghold. What is a stronghold? Because the saints are pulling down strongholds. Well, what is a stronghold? A stronghold in the Hebrew is a fortress. It is an ideology, a concept. It is a castle designed to keep something in or something out. Now, the Bible never told us to pull down strongholds. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So you have a lot of the saints who are in trouble because they pulled down the stronghold. If the stronghold is a supporting beam, then whatever the stronghold is holding up, if you pull it down, it's collapsing on you. So most of the saints are in trouble with these demonic forces. Now, the word demon in the Hebrew Old Testament is different from demon in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, a demon is da, where we get the English word do from. It means to know. If you get an amnesia, they would call you a Jane Doe or a John Doe, the gathering of information on you. That's the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, if you was possessed with a demon, it's because the demon possessed you. But in the New Testament, the possessed people with demons wasn't that the demon had the person, but it was that the person had the demon. So there's a difference between a demon possessing you and you having possession of it.
Break that down, Bishop, deeper.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Break that down.
So I have, if I possess you, that means I have full control over you of everything that you do because I possess you. But if you're in possession of me, that means you can drive me. So, for instance, if a person has a car, okay, they own the car technically, right? But if you're still paying car notes on it, it is possible to have possession of a thing but not title or ownership of it. So the title is at the bank, but you have possession of it. What Satan does to most believers is get them to take possession of something that is demonic in its origin, and then that thing influences all of their decisions.
Woo!
And that's the difference between a demon having you and you having a demon.
Ah, that is powerful. Didn't see it that way, didn't look at it that way at all. That is powerful teaching, Bishop Bloomer. Oh,
and so
my
I found myself in 2006 in a tub like the lady just got finished talking about with my wrist slid. Same situation. I've been talking about it for the past three years now. But it wasn't because a demon had me, it's because I had it. I took possession of accursed things and became influenced by that thing. Because the word demon means to influence. And so what Satan does, he figures out what our natural need is. As it is a natural, so go in the spirit. And so if we have a natural tendency to lust, then what he does is package lust for us. We reach for that thing that we lust for, and then we become under the influence of it. And that's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, I will eat meat that was offered up to idols, but I will not come under the influence of any of those things. And so that's the difference between spiritual warfare and deliverance. Deliverance is setting a person free. Spiritual warfare is coming up with the strategy and the plan to even first admit that we're bound, and most of the saints don't even admit that. Yes.
That is so powerful. So you have to admit or know that you are possessed. Do you act out of character? How do one know
not that? Not that you're possessed, but that you have possession of something that is demonic.
That's right. So if I know I'm possessing it, then I ought to know that I am possessing it because it's lustful thing, carnal things. I want this. I desire it. Am I on the correct page?
There's a part of salvation that doesn't work unless we exercise it. And it goes like this. The Bible says, sanctify yourself and the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. So there's no sanctification that just comes from God on behalf of the believer. It goes like you were saved, being saved, and going to be saved. This body, soul, and spirit. I feel like I'm talking too much. Soul, and spirit. There's three manifested works of the spirit to save all three of us. So the salvation of my spirit is worship and praise. The salvation of my soul is confession. The salvation of my flesh is discipline. So I have to tell my flesh, you're not going to have this. I have to worship my way in terms of feeding my spirit, and I have to confess that Jesus is Lord in order to keep my soul in play for eternal salvation. And again, we spend a lot of times on the gospel of inference, things that we heard someone speak or things we heard someone say or things that we sort of kind of believe it was inferred, but it not actually being the word of God itself. And so we wake up one day with all of these particular issues. And remember, here's a clue that we're in possession of some cursed things. When we start saying, I decided to do this, or I felt like this, or that. So we came under the influence of something that is a lie against what God has spoken concerning us. Because remember, the demon goes to God on us. And what does he say? He says, this is that and the other about George Bloomer. And then God stops and says, wait a minute here. I know the thoughts I think concerning George Bloomer, and they are good thoughts and not evil, and thoughts that are going to bring him to an expected end. So God expects me to finish strong and not dead and not defeated and not broke. He expects me to finish strong because he's already defeated the forces that I'm coming up against. Mm-hmm. And once we understand that, we walk in a new sense of victory. And but remember, I said that in 2006, so that was just a few years ago, and I've been preaching for 33 years. So yes. From glory to glory, from grace to grace, from challenge to challenge, we learn another side of God. And I'm staying open to him so that I can be prepared for the next season in my life. That's what witchcraft and infused is all about.
Yes. You know, time don't permit us to go a little further. I know you're busy. Just moments away, really, from hitting that finishing up the two-day deliverance revival, you guys. And for those who are wondering, it is in Pikesville, Maryland, okay? Bishop, we've got to bring you back on. I know if what you're teaching here, it is on fire tonight, you guys. You want to make your way there, visit his Facebook page, Bishop George Bloomer, and find out the address and make your way there. As you've said so much, we don't even have time, Bishop. I want to go ahead and tell our listening audience that you are gracing our cover next month, but we definitely have to bring you back on, Bishop. I mean,
I would love to. We'll do it soon. I promise.
Absolutely. And I also want to make some mention that you are on the Word Network. Rejoice in the Word, Bishop George Bloomer, reaching millions of households.
Rejoice in the Word. Just voted the number one Christian talk show on Friday night in the nation. So keep on watching. That is great, 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 great.
Wow, awesome.
None others. 47% of the market shares on Friday night between 8 and 10.
Come on.
Spiritual Warfare Live and Well.
That is huge. That is huge, you guys. Keep watching, keep praying for Bishop George Bloomer. Like, again, Bishop, I grew up on your tapes, and I remember how, is that your testimony? When I have a testimony, too, when I was sick and all that. I'm telling you, I watched your tape, how you didn't read, and God just blessed you, and he blessed me to connect with you. So I just want to bring you back on the Certain Ones, and I'm so glad to have you grace our cover next month. We love you here.
Thank you
we
so
really
much.
Do, Bishop. Love
Thank you.
You
so much. God bless you,
Take
and
care.
God bless all your wonderful people, and may they walk in victory. And in peace, in Jesus' name.
Amen. We receive. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
That was Bishop George Bloomer. We have to bring him back on, you guys. Man, I love dialogue to truth. Authentic dialogue right there. I tell you, we had an awesome showcase. Didn't I tell you that? So I'm so excited to have Bishop on. Yes, the big reveal. Bishop is on our cover for next month. The Certain Ones magazine, August edition. I thank everybody for supporting us here on the Certain One. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and take this commercial break, and I want to bring back my guest, Nakima. She had a powerful testimony. You put a nail in that. Remember now? And thank God for Bishop. We are on the right page. Watch God move. He too, listen now, he's been in the ministry for 30 years, and the enemy came in and tried to touch his mind, and he wanted to kill himself too. I mean, we are spiritually, and we are in a battle that the enemy just wants to destroy what's inside us and what it is that we're carrying. And sometimes the weight of the world does become so much overbearing, and we want to give it up. But that's not our testimony. That's not our story. And Bishop George Bloomer, his testimony says that. Nakima T. Lee testimony says that also. So I'm so glad to have you join us here on the Certain One. Now, the number again is 917-932-1607. That number again is 917-932-1607. I need you to call in. Again, I do not have the chat room open tonight. I want to specifically and directly connect with my guests. I want them to put their hearts and soul into their testimony. And I want you, our listeners and our viewers, to really, really open up your heart and your mind and listen to their testimonies. And their testimony also, again, will be featured in the Certain Ones magazine. Thank you again for your support. And for those who are just tuning in, we just got through talking to the fantastic Bishop George Bloomer. Sometimes we do inference, you know, I love that. Oh my God. And he broke that down like a freshman. Now we're going to take a break. And I thank everybody for joining us in our virtual studio. I see you, area code 973. I see you, area code 910-414-215. Thank you guys for joining us. We're going to take this break. And we're going to be right back. Don't touch that dial. Want to know why? Because something good is getting ready to happen. Watch God move.
Are you a single Christian woman who's wondering where Mr. Right is? If so, I believe I can help you. Hi, my name is Afi Pittman, creator of Author of Faith Enterprises, the place of encouragement for today's single woman. I know firsthand how frustrating it is to just want to meet and marry Mr. Right already, and then to do everything you know how to do in dating and romance, and at the end of the day, still be single. But God used some very difficult situations in my life to teach me the art of contentment and how to prepare for marriage. If you're ready to live a full life, free from worry that you'll ever marry Mr. Right, and you want to marry God's way, I want you to join me at authorofmyfaith.com. Start by signing up for the Single and Preparing e-newsletter to get free articles, video devotionals, and company news. I also post new blog devotionals every week, along with articles on dating, healthy eating, and living. And you can also subscribe for those as well. So again, this is Afi Pittman with Author of Faith Enterprises, the place of encouragement for today's single woman at authorofmyfaith.com. I so look forward to hearing from you, and I would be honored to serve you on your journey to Mr. Right.
The Certain Ones has become a movement in motivation and inspiration. Our mantra is aspiring to inspire. Have you subscribed to The Certain Ones on YouTube? Log on today at www.youtube.com/TheCertainOnes and join in the movement too. Enjoy daily doses of inspiration and motivation. Are you ready? Let's go get it. And now back to the show with your host, Vanessa Richardson, and her special guests.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the show. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring my guest back on, Nikema. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good. I'm excited. You know what? We left them in a cliffhanger moment. I love those moments. But let's go ahead and get back in your testimony. Here you are, Nikema. You're making $70,000, maybe $70,000 on your job. You have two kids. Mm-hmm. And in your mind, your frame of mind is, I'm successful at failing. And you just wanted to give it up. Listen, you guys, she has 3 degrees, advanced degrees. And she had 2 mouths to feed, okay? She was looking for love in all the wrong places. So now she finds herself in a bathtub full of water, wristlet, and taking pills. Nikema, take us in that moment. After that, your friend came and said, do you really want to die? And your answer without hesitation was yes. Tell us,
yes.
How did you come out that dark period? What happened? Go ahead. And how did you come out? Rise up.
Well, once he pushed me under and I really decided to give out and take that breath, and he pulled me out and said, you don't want to die. You just want the pain to go away. The next day, I checked myself into a mental hospital right there in Greensboro, North Carolina, and because that's where I was living at the time. And I was laying on the floor just crying and bawling and trying to figure out how did I get here in my life. And I realized that it wasn't the life that I was leading, the lifestyle that I had had. It was really the broken 11-year-old that was still in me when my mother walked out the door and said, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do you anymore. And to have somebody like that, I mean, a boyfriend leaves, a husband leaves, is one thing. But when a parent leaves, and it's the only parent you've ever known, there's something that's just taken away from you. And my spirit searched for that completion. Now, my mother wasn't up the street around the corner. You know how some parents live right across the street from their kids and they don't even know that that's their mother or their father. My mother moved from New Jersey to South Carolina. So it wasn't like I could just get up and go. There was times where I wrote letters begging for her to come back. Can I come with you? And to be consistently rejected, always found myself trying to find love in something else, whether it was food. I became a binge eater where I would just eat until I couldn't eat no more. Whether it was drugs, I've tried every drug that there's possibly imaginable except heroin, or whether it was sex. I found myself in sexual places that were just, no child had no place to be. At the age of 16, literally walking the street, getting paid to put my mouth on things that no 16-year-old should ever do. Having to decide, okay, do I go out with this guy for the dinner he's going to give me and the place he's going to let me sleep at just so that I can get up and go to school by 7 o'clock in the morning? Like, those were the decisions that I was making at 15, 16 years old. So you couple all of that with, you go to school, you become a basketball player, you become an award-winning track star, you graduate. You not only graduate, but you go to college. You're successful at college. People admire you. You're great. And to know, okay, I did that. And I got married. I had a baby. I did what everybody said I was supposed to do, the way that people said I was supposed to do it. But my marriage failed because I didn't know how to be a wife. I didn't know how to love somebody else. Nobody ever taught me that. So I harpooned and sabotaged that relationship. I ended up divorced, living in Hawaii with a kid. And I was like, oh my, how do I do this? Go back to what I know how to do. I know how to sell my body for money. I know how to manipulate people with my body and with my mind. Let me do that. And I realized that after I started dating a married man, and he would come over my house every day, and he would play with my kid, and we would eat dinner, and we would make love, and he would go home. And it tore me up every day. Like, why are you leaving me? And he was just like, I love my wife. Like, how do you love her? How do you do that? And it was until I read Juanita Bynum's No More Sheets. Yes. And I read that book, and I was on the floor, honey. I was on the floor, and I knew that my life was going to be different from that moment forward. And I read that book in January 4th. I will never forget it. January 4th. I read that book, and I had a silent moment. And what happened to me was, yes, I was dating a married man. Yes, I was living a lifestyle that was unbecoming of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. But I didn't know how to be anything else. I didn't know who I was or what I was. So I ended up having my moment, and there was Nikema. There was Nikki. Nikki was out on the street. Nikki was pretty. Everybody wanted to talk to Nikki. Everybody wanted to be with Nikki. But then there was Nikema, and Nikema was in the back alley, covered in this like alien mucus film, right? And God reached down into that film, and he pulled me out, and he cradled me in his arms, and he looked me in my face and said that everything was going to be all right. And since that day, I understood that I was more than anything that anybody had ever said to me. From my father saying I was never going to be anything, to my grandmother saying he was never going to be no more than what your mother was, to everybody, you know, who said, I'll be there for you, but never really was there for me. I knew at that moment that God was going to be there for me no matter what. I was sold out for Jesus. I was sold out going to church at 5 o'clock in the morning, laying prostrate, touching hands, speaking in tongues. You know, 6 days out the week, I'm in the house of the Lord. And I understood, you know, I had a better foundation as to where I needed to be in life and where I wanted to go. So yes, fast forward, I found a new husband. I had a new baby. Everything was going right. I'm successful again. I've started my new job. I've gotten my master's. I'm working in my field. I'm climbing the corporate ladder from 72,000 to 70,000 in less than 3 years. I'm living in North Carolina, making great money, just doing it wonderful. But I was unhappy in my marriage because I did not love myself. And I wanted my husband to love me, not only for him, but for me too. And he just was like, I'm not doing that. That's not my job, Nikema. And I'm like, what do you mean? You're my husband. You're supposed to love me no matter what. He's like, nah, that's not what I signed up for. And I was like, what do you mean? And we argued for the 364 days that we were married. We argued for about 6 months of those. Consistent, like, I need this from you. He was like, this is not my job or my role to give you that. And I didn't understand what he meant. I didn't understand what he meant. So here I am, 2008. My husband has left me. I've decided to go off and start selling adult toys to women, because that was my calling. I knew, if nothing else, I knew sex. I knew sex. Mm-hmm. Up, down, backwards, forward, I knew sex. So I'm selling sex toys to women, and these women are challenging me. But I've never had an orgasm, Nikema. I've never done this. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, I don't love my husband, or my husband doesn't. I'm like, what are you asking me for? I don't know. Okay. So I took it upon myself to really dig down and ask God, like, is this really what I'm supposed to do? And I took the time to learn the answers to what people needed to know, because I knew. I just didn't know how to communicate the knowledge that I had. So I spent that year trying to build a business, trying to build a brand and a Bible Belt where I'm talking about sex on stage and how great it is to please your husband and how wonderful it is to be available to your husband and be submissive and all these other taboo things that people don't want to listen to when they're in a setting, like a club or something like that. So I said, okay, I struggle. The lights are being turned off. The eviction notices are on the table. And I'm like, I don't have anybody that I can go to. I don't have a mom that I can go to and say, Mom, help me. I don't have a husband that I can fall back on and say, help me. I don't have a brother or a cousin or a grandmother that says, Nikema, let me help you figure life out. And I had to do it on my own. And I had been pulling up my own bootstraps for years, time and time again. And I was tired. I was tired of doing it. I just was so tired. So by the time I got to that cold floor in that mental hospital, I was done. I had no more to give. And that's where you have to be in life sometimes in order for God to move the most in your life. When you don't have nothing else to give. When you know there's nothing that you can do and it's nothing but God. When you know that it's nothing but God, then you can do anything. And I came out of there knowing that I could do all things. Not some things, not a little bit of things, but all things. And I could do all things. And it really solidified my faith. And a lot of people say, well, how is it that you talk about God and you talk about sex in the same conversation? I said, because it's not the sex that I talk about. It's the intimacy. Mm-hmm. And when you understand what intimacy is, you see into me. If I allow you to see into me, I allow you to see the God in me. I reveal that to you, and I become vulnerable to you, to a space where the physical part is just extra. But when I let you in mentally, spiritually, emotionally, then we're one. And a lot of people don't get that when it comes to sex. They think, oh, well, you teach me how to spin and teach me how to, you know, suck and turn and flip. And it's like, no, I can teach you how to do that with the greatest person in the world. But if you're not mentally, spiritually, and emotionally whole, you're going to mess it up. You're going to harpoon it and destroy it. So even with this latest book that I have out, Dr. Lee's Ultimate Guide to a Rockstar Sex Life, a lot of tools and tips are in there, yes, but it talks about mastering yourself first. It talks about accepting who you are and accepting others for who they are. And it talks about demanding the best from yourself and demanding the best from others. Long before I even talk about a sit and a spin or anything else, you got to know who you are. And that's what it took me, because I could lay down with a person physically without thought. But I would never give of myself emotionally. I would never give of myself spiritually. And it wasn't until I was able to know who I was, and I was like, no, I'm not laying down with you. I determined that every time somebody entered into me, it was every stroke was a mile. Every stroke was a mile. As in, every time I got in my car and went to the store, I depreciated the value of my car. So every time I let somebody enter into me and stroke me, they devalued the value of my vagina based on the fact that I want to be married, the fact that I want to be whole in a relationship. You devalue me. Now I can become vintage, but who really wants to drive around a $300,000 mile Mercedes, even though it is from 1942? Nobody.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to do that. It becomes a classic and it sits in the garage. That's it. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want that for myself. I wanted more. So I became very I became very particular about what went inside of me, because I believed in me. I loved me. And when I got that, oh my God, the sex that I do have, excuse my language, but when I do have it, it is spectacular. Mm-hmm. It is mind-blowing. It is exciting. It is real. It is intuitive. It is emotional. It is all in. And it's that's what I teach. It's understanding that aspect of it. Yeah, I can teach you how to do something special, but if you're not who you need to be, if you don't love you for who you are and what you bring to the table, then you stop having sex for a minute. Just sit down and get yourself together, because when you do it, you don't want to waste it. You don't want to waste it. You don't want to waste it. But that's my story.
Tina, you are speaking. You are speaking. And my open wimpy voice speaking.
Yes.
You know what? I want to bring you back on for an hour. Like, listen, you guys, I'm so blessed. Her testimony is powerful. This young lady is, I like the term you use, intimate relationship coach. You got to know who you are to please your husband. Sometimes we try to be fulfilled with our mates and all that. And that's just contributed, you know, but you have to know who you are and what it is. I say this all the time. We want people to give us our identity, define me. Who am I? I'm lost. But you have to find out who you are. And I love that you're a certified law of attraction guide. Ah, you are just a woman of many hats. And you're saying so much, Nakima. You got to promise me that you got to come back on the show. Say yes.
I would love to. Yes. Yes, I would love to.
There you have it, you guys. So, Nakima, before you go, because I want to bring my next guest, tell us where they hit you up. Where can we bring you, like, to speak? Maybe we can put you on shows, magazines, like my magazine. Give us some contact information, directors.
Absolutely. And it's simply NakimaLee.com. If you just go to NIKEEMALEE.com, all of my contact information is right there. And you can go to Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, everything is branded as Nakima Lee, and I look forward to interacting with your guests, your listeners, for anybody who just wants to chat. I will be in Philadelphia tomorrow. For any of your listeners who are in Philadelphia, just go to the website and get all the information. It's been a pleasure, and I'm so blessed, and thank you so much, Miss Vanessa, for having me. I appreciate what you do. I really do think that you are a powerful woman of God, and you are really moving, and your brand and your purpose that you're moving in is really going to touch so many lives. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. I do appreciate that. And I will be connecting with you again. Like I said, I'm really sincere about this. And you said, yes, I want to bring you back. I want to give you more time to do what it is that you do. And you're absolutely right. We must know, we want our mates to see into us. Exactly. But we must see ourselves also. So I've taken copious notes in the Nakima. So we're going to bring you back on, and we're going to let you do your thing, what God called you to do. All right?
Amen. Thank you.
My pleasure. You guys, that is Nakima Lee. Listen, guys, this episode is going to be available upon demand in a matter of minutes after my last guest comes on. So I want you to go ahead and get that information and invite her to your church, whatever it is. Invite her to your conference, whatever it is. You want your mate and yourself to really see into you, because sometimes we don't need to see ourselves. We don't know what it is we love or who we are. You know, sometimes we base our identity on salaries, our job occupation, our family and friends. So we're lost in the mix. You want to know who you are first, okay? So we're going to take this break. When I come back, I'm going to bring on our last guest, author Anita DeShiel. Watch God Move. Now, you know I had to bring her on to talk about that book. Her new book is going to be released in August. So excited to have her come on the show and talk about her new release, her first release. And I said that to her today. Congratulations, congratulations, congratulations. I say it again to her. Congratulations. So you guys, don't touch that down. We'll be right back after this short and detailed message.
Are you starting a new business, releasing a CD, writing a new book? Consider Mitchell Productions for your web design services. Visit www.mitchell-productions.com for portfolio samples, specials, and package prices. Remember, a website is not a luxury item. It's a necessity. Check out Mitchell-Productions.com or find them at Facebook.com/Mitchell Productions.
Do you have a show idea or community event that you would like for Vanessa to announce? These requests can be emailed to VanessaJackso90@Hotmail.com. That's Vanessa jackso90@hotmail.com. Be sure to send in writing on the organization's stationery and letterhead and include a general overview of the organization events with complete contact information. Your request must be received at least 4 weeks prior to the event. Include the date, time, location, and specific needs for the event.
And we are back to the show. Thank you guys for joining us. At the top of the hour, we had the profound, deep, powerful message talking about inference and scriptures and knowing what the weapon is and repossessing demons. Oh, he took me on a mind trip there, you guys. We're going to bring him back, too. Also, Bishop George Boomer. That's right. You know what? North Carolina's in the house. I did not know that my sister was from North Carolina also, Nikita. She's here currently. I'm so excited about that. That's my neck of the woods, North Carolina, as is George Bloomer. So you know what? Even North Carolina is doing the thing. Yep. So thank you, guys. We got a packed studio, a virtual studio. Thank everybody for joining us. 609-910-215-414-910-973. I see your number and so on and so on. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and bring our Nita the Shield on. And we're going to talk about Watch God Move. Oh, that title right there. Right there. Yes, darling. Just give me the chill. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring her on. Welcome to the show.
How far is that? Then? There's a lot farther than that way down that way. You got a little bit tighter on there, right,
babe? We're going to take this break. We're going to come back and bring on our last
Can you hear me? Dr. Shield?
Shield. Watch God move. You know why I had to bring her on.
Hello?
Talk about that work.
Okay, hold on just one moment. I know she's definitely in our studio. Give her time. Dr. Nita Shield, this is Vanessa. Are you live? Are you with us? I'm trying to bring you on. Press the number one. It's indicative that you're with us. Anita Shield, are you there? The Shield, are you with us? Tell me, guys, I'm trying to bring her on. I know she's in the house. We're so excited about this interview. We talked briefly today, so I know she is here. Anita, if you're there, please press number one so I can ID you on the call. We have, like, a full studio right here. Don't want to move on until you press the number one. Let's talk about your book, Watch God Move. You know what, guys, like she's here, but we're having difficulty. I see her trying to log on. Anita, there she is. If I could sing, I would sing. This is live, you guys, so we're going to go ahead and bring her on. For those who are just joining us, again, we had Bishop George Bloomer. We had author Nikema T. Lee joining us on A Certain One. This is the first time here. Actually, all three. This is their first time gracing our platform here. So without further ado, I did extend this showcase from an hour to an hour and a half, so we do have time to get our conversation going. So thanks again, you guys, for staying with us as long as you are. Here we are. Anita, how are you?
Grateful for you having me on today.
Oh, my pleasure. I can hear some sound in the background. Can you find a place without the noise, please?
I have it down. I just turned off the broadcast on my laptop.
Okay, that's what it was. Okay, so that was her, you guys. We had her on as just a feedback. So, yes, I'm so excited to have you on. This is your first time. Welcome to the show. Excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here, and I thank God for the opportunity. This is my first interview about my book, so I'm grateful to God. I give him all the glory.
Watch God move, all right? Won't he do it? So I want to give a big shout out to my sister, Dorothy Goins, who connected with me and said, listen, you got to get this great sister on your show. She got this book coming out. You want to bring her on. So you know what? I want to go ahead and let you, again, I like to be generic. I don't kind of so recorded and practiced and rehearsed. You know, I don't like that. I just want you to go ahead and break bread with us, break the ice, and go ahead and tell us about yourself. And let's jump right into your book, Watch God Move. How'd you come about the topic? First question.
Well, I just want to first say that, you know, I have always felt that I had a book in me, and I never shared it with anybody because I had fear and doubt of how I wrote and also how I actually talked. But a prophet came to the church in 2012, Prophet Todd Hall, at the Power of God Impact Conference, Kingdom Come, and he called my name out, and he said, is there an Anita Kirk's here? And he began to tell me that the Lord was highlighting me for books. And he was telling me my background, that I had a background for recovering of the mind, and that he saw me speaking, talking with children and teaching children how to act and talk. But he said my books were going to be in Barnes & Noble. They were going to be in Amazon. And I'm sitting here, and I'm just praising God because I know I never told anybody that I had this book in me because of my fears. And he said, I know you're praising God, but I want you to know that the Lord is going to do it. And he said, God is pleased. And he began to say it was an honor to meet me. And he then went on to talk about my son because my son was homesick. I was an armor bearer that morning serving. So needless to say, it was confirmation for me. And I immediately went home and I started to write. And I took the topic, Watch God Move, because that's what God spoke to me. So one of the things that I try to practice in every area of my life is listening for the voice of God. Now, how do I do that? I pray, and I ask God for confirmation, and I seek his face, and I don't move sometimes until I get direction from him. And if I go the wrong way because I sought him, he brings me right back to where I need to be. So for that, So at that stage, I started writing the book, and then the Lord began to give me the title, and I just began to flow. So I'm like, God, this is really you. This is really something I love to do. So I came up with the titles, The Storm is Passing Over, The Power of Prayer, I'm Still Standing, Don't Quit, Letting Go, I Got Joy, Our Children Have a Voice, Mighty Men of Valor, Virtuous Woman, and Chapter 10 is Watch God Move. Because all through my life, there was times I didn't know how I was going to make it, tears rolling down my face, made some bad decisions, but in the end, God moved. Had a tumor, God healed me. He moved. I went back to the doctor. They couldn't find the tumor. I had eviction notices. Didn't know how or where I was going to live. Packed my bags. God gave me money so I can move and go and live in another location, which was Maryland. Came from out of a domestic violence situation. No money in my pocket. Just packed up my car and went with just my clothes and my son. And God made a way out of no way. And I'm not going to say it wasn't easy, because it wasn't hard, it was challenging, but I was able to do it with God moving. I remember me getting eviction notice after eviction notice while I was in Maryland, and some people probably wouldn't even notice because I don't always share my business, so I'm being very transparent right now. But I had strangers give me checks for $3,000 and another $3,000, people I didn't even know. Woo. But blessed me, I could take care of my rent. And I remember going to court one day and the rental agency didn't even show up, and the judge said, case dismissed. And I'm like, what happened? And they said, you can go. They didn't even show. So once again, I was able to see God's hand on my life. And so I began to talk to people in my family and see my friends, and my sister got hit by a drunk driver and left a prayer and convocation in Chicago, and actually went to go see her on her bedside. I remember my siblings being in the corner and my sister having tubes all in her mouth, and they didn't know if she was going to make it. They thought she was brain damaged. They thought she couldn't talk. They said she didn't hear us, but I began to pray. And I said, Lord, just like you raised Lazarus from the dead, raised my sister, I saw her move. My sister pulled the tubes from out of her mouth and started breathing on her own. So wow. I am a living testimony. And I know there's so many people out there, because part of what my book is going to do, because it's not about me, this whole book is to encourage those to stand still and see what God can do, that he can move. You might have to wait for him to move, but he's going to show up and show out in your worst situation.
Yes.
And he's going to make the better situation better. So I've seen him do things in people's lives that are connected to me. And when I ask people, can you share with me a little excerpt of what God has done, how he has moved in your life? And they say, well, so many. But there's somebody out there that's listening to us, and they're going through a financial drought. They're going through a test in their career, in their church. They're going through something in their mind and in their body. They're going through a relationship challenge. There's so many things that our world is facing. We got police brutality everywhere. If we never needed a move, but God, we sure do need it now. We need God to move. And a lot of people are discouraged. A lot of people are sad. A lot of people are depressed. We got our brothers and sisters in prison being falsely accused. We got people don't even know how they're going to make it the next day with food in there. They're looking for food. They're looking for a shelter. You know, so as long as there is breath in my body to encourage someone that God is God, he can do all things but fail. That is my purpose, because I've seen him do it for me. Sister Richardson, I know he can do it for somebody else. And somebody out there else knows. I'm quite sure you can tell me, like, Arnita, I didn't know what I was going to do about this situation, but God moved. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how I was going to pay this bill, but God moved. Yes. But somebody out there today doesn't know that. Somebody out there does not know that. Somebody out there is so discouraged. Somebody stayed up all night crying. Yes. Somebody stayed up all night worrying. And they need to know that God is going to come through for them, that there is nothing too hard for God. Nothing is impossible. I stand on his word tonight because I see him do it. Each and every day, I see him doing something in my life. I'm like, God, you did that for me? And you say, yes. But you know why? Because I will give him the glory. See, because I want someone else to know they can make it, that they can come out of a domestic violence situation like me. They can make it. They can make it without getting child support and alimony. They can make it. I want them to know that what God has ordained to happen in their life, every dream, every vision, every promise, it will come to pass, because he moves like that. Out of every area that I talked about, the Lord gave those to me because those were things that I experienced personally. But like I said, it's not about me. There's somebody out there need to know and be encouraged tonight that whatever God has given them to do, if he gave them a book to write, they can write it. I don't care how much money you got in your pocket. All you have to do is step out on faith. And when you do that, God will honor it. Like he sent me Sister Goins. He will send the right people your way that will not take advantage of your gift, but will try to be a blessing to you because they see your heart. And so you saw my heart. When I looked at the flyer, I'm like, wow, Lord, I didn't even send anything, but God said to you. And I told Sister Dorothy, I said, the Lord had to speak to her. Yeah. And I was on the phone one night, and I saw the flyer, like, oh, my goodness. I said, God, I thank you. That's you. That's you moving. I didn't have to say anything. I didn't even have to give her anything. That's God. Yes. So, you know, God is awesome. And I just like how he moves. And it's based on his word. It's all based on his word. His word won't return into his void. I mean, Genesis 1:1-2 sums it up. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Yes. And darkness was up on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
Yes.
His word says, any dark situation, any void or empty space, anything that's without form, anything that's not growing, anything that's lacking, God's saying, I could turn it around. And he could do it just like that. It don't take him long to change a voided situation, a dark place, to bring light to it. And that's what I like about him. He don't change. So if you don't have a friend, I'm telling you, God will allow you to encourage yourself. And when no one else is around, he will move on you with his spirit. And before you know it, you're standing up and saying, I can make it. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I know, Lord, I'm crying right now, but I'm going to wipe these tears from my face. I'm going to take up my bed and walk, and I'm going to go forth in you.
Yes.
So I'm telling you, I'm just excited because I've seen him do it. I seen him do it. I recently got a shut-off notice, and it was an error because I paid the bill, but I got a shut-off notice on my door for water. And I'm like, okay, but the water's still on. I called them. They said, well, no, it can't be on because there's a shut-off notice. Now, I said, nobody but you, Lord, even when the enemy tries to do things that will hinder you or distract you, it may stay a shut-off, but God is still moving in the supernatural. That's what he does. That's why he can create something from nothing. And if he can do that with the earth and he can create us, there's nothing he can't do. That's his word. It says it in Luke 1:37. So I'm telling you, even right now, no, I don't have millions of dollars. I don't have a Rolls Royce. But when I look at those things are temporarily, because that's not really what it's about.
I see change in my life. I saw my life flip from being crawling from out of a situation, out of a divorce that I didn't think I could get through. And now I'm standing here whole and healed and healthy. And I can really claim that the joy, and I can say it without a shadow, without the joy of the Lord truly is my strength. And now I see this transformation, and God is making me whole. That's what I meant about him moving. You might be crawling today, but the Lord is going to let you rise up, and he's going to let you fly and soar over everything that you ever experienced that was meant to take you out, whether it was suicide. Look at Bishop Bloom. It didn't take him out. It didn't take him out. It tried, but it failed. Because God had his hands on his life, and he said, I have a great work for him to do. He had a great work for Sister Fatima to do. And when God has called you to do something, he's going to finish it. He that began a great work in you will perform it to the end. So, and he said, greater works than these shall you do. So I don't care how much money you got in your pocket, how much trouble you experience. That storm is going to pass. Trouble don't last always. Because his word says, peace be still, and it will shut down everything. And before you know it, you're laughing, you're talking, you're breathing, the cancer is gone. And even if the cancer didn't go, when you're in Christ, you are a new creature. When you're in Christ, you're saved. So even when this life is over, there's victory and there's freedom. But I talk about going through grief and loss because I experienced that. And grief can take you out. Death of a loved one can take you out if it's unhealthy grief. But when you put that in the situation, watch God move. And everything that you experience, that hurt and that pain, before you know it, even if it's just ministering to that sister or brother that lost a loved one, God is moving. He said, I can take your grief and I can allow you to be a blessing to somebody else. So I am just so in awe of God. And it took me this long to start finishing this project. But now that I'm doing it, I'm glad that I am. Because if I'd done it back when I thought I should have done it, it wasn't God's timing. But see, this is another thing about the book. God's timing is perfect. He moves when he wants to move. Sometimes he likes to call the shots. We want God to do it when we want him to do it. But when my chapter 10 is going to talk about the different things that have helped me to move in the process of watching, how to sit back and watch God move, how to participate in that process. And he gave me different things that I have done to share with other people. And like I said, my life is not peaches and cream. I'm not where I want to be completely, but I'm on my way because I see what God is doing. I know that he's able to take me higher and higher in him. And no matter what obstacle, no matter what my shortcomings is, I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm going to dust myself off, pick up the pieces, and keep moving forward in him. That's what the butterfly is all about. I'm not going to stay crawling, not for no one, no situation, nothing. Because God says that he came that we might have life. So you have to live. He wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. And how do I live? I pray. I seek him daily. That's how I start noticing and allowing him to speak to me about the things he's doing in my life and he's doing in other people's life. Because once again, it's not about me. What about my friend? What about my sister? What about my brother? What about the one that I'm upset with? You know, how can I move forward in that situation? I fast. I shut down. It may not be food. Sometimes it might be something I really love, like candy or sweets. It might be the ice cream. You know, right. I fast from social media. You know, everybody has things that they are pulled into that they need to release in order to focus on what God is doing. That's when you can see God moving. Because a lot of times if we're so busy doing stuff, we can't see it. Right. So I fast. You got to have faith. You got to have faith. You can't walk by what you see. You have to trust. You have to trust God even when it doesn't look like or feel like it. You just have to know that he's going to bring you through no matter what it is. He's going to bring you through and that he's going to get all the glory. You're going to come out with a story about how God moved in your life. And then there's love. Love conquers all. You know, the greatest of these things that God tells us in his word, one of the greatest attributes you can have is love. It's a wonderful fruit of the Spirit. And we have to operate in that when we're going to be watching God move. When we have to watch God move, we have to love each other. We have to love ourselves. Love people, love ourselves, and love God. And then we have to wait on him, you know. And these are the things that's going to be in my chapter 10. But I just thank God for you know, giving this to me and encouraging me. So it may not be a prophet that pulls you out so you can see God moving and you go forth in the thing that God called you to do. It could be a phone call from a friend. It could be something that you experience walking through the mall. But God will show you in different ways and situations that, you know, this is what you need to do. And this is where I'm taking you. And I'm going to show up and I'm going to show out to let you know that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I got you. I got you through every sickness, through every disease, through every financial hardship. You know, I know you're starting something new, but I got you. I'm going to send you the help you need. And anybody that's not for you, I'm going to remove them. So that's pretty much been my journey with this whole book, and I am just amazed each and every day, you know, how God has been moving and opening doors, you know, getting phone calls from people that I didn't reach out to, you know, but God is opening doors so that someone else out there can be encouraged to run on and see what the end is going to be so that they can press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in God. And like I said, there's so much going on in this world. I mean, our brothers and sisters are dying. Every day, every week, you hear another story about police brutality.
Yes.
And we have our sisters in Nigeria that are not yet back where they need to be. They're still captive, and they're still being mishandled. You know, we have racism that's still on the rise, but it's showing up in different ways. And then we have our own people killing each other. And so with everything that's going on in life today, we need God to move, and we need to watch for his movement, and we need to participate in that process. So part of what I believe, my hope is that the book will do is to encourage people and that they will start operating in the things that God has called them to do, and they will encourage other people. So I want this whole thing to be about the testimonies of how God moved. I want to hear it on Facebook. I want to hear it in other cities. And I want it to be like a proclamation. Watch God move. He's coming. He's going to show up. Don't worry, sis. You can make it. I know it's hard right now. Don't worry, my brother. I know the pain is real, you know, but you can make it. God is going to come through for you. He's not a man that he will lie. You know, everything that he says is true, and his promises are yes and amen. And so, I'm amazed every day what he does in my life. And when I talk to different people and I ask them to share, and I can't put every story in my book, but, you know, God is leading me, and my hope is that it'll be, a lot of people sharing to other people, and it will uplift other people's spirit and let them see that no matter what, you can make it. No matter what.
And
no matter what.
That book too. Ardita, I want to talk to you about the book, too. Looking at the book cover, it's absolutely stunning. I tell people all the time, one of the keys, prolific, I want you to listen to me now, you guys, because we had a lot of information given to you tonight, and I want you to really go back and download this archive and listen to it at your earliest convenience on your cell phone, whatever have you, can listen to this. Now, the most important thing that this factor we have, all three of our guests, is this. You have living testimonies, and we stepped out, and yes, we show our vulnerabilities, that we are not perfect, we have our issues, but it's our faith that kept us going, and it takes us moving, because some people just give up immediately, Anita. So I'm looking at your book, and I understand what the butterfly is. I studied it, and Vanessa even means butterfly, and I see the transition. Watch God move. I see it, and one is even on your shoulder, and one is even on the tip of your fingertip. Listen, you guys, you got to understand what's in your hands. That's why God told Moses. So what's in your hands? See, you have something in your hands. You don't even know what it is. Because sometimes we're busy looking around at other people, and we're busy looking around at the situation. It's so important that you do not do an ASAP move. You know that, Arnita, in the Bible. ASAP looked around, and he said, listen, all these sinners over here are like advancing, and here I am doing right. And it seems like I'm the last man standing. But then the Bible says, he said, I remember what God has done for me. And so I understand where you're coming from, and I love your chapters. Listen, you guys, in her book, it's 10 chapters, and in biblical meaning of 10 means the number is used 242 times. And it's designated the 10th, and it's used 79 times in the Bible. Look at this now.
10 is also viewed as a complete and perfect number, all right? So somebody is on a perfect path for God. It may not feel like it, and it may not look like it. And when a caterpillar goes in transition, chrysalis, that's what it goes through that thing, where it just morphs from that, from crawling state to a flying state. So somebody's transitioning from their crawling state into a soaring, flying state. Do not give up. Do not give in to the voice of doubt and fear and all that. You are going to be elevated in God's anointing. And you said, watch God move. And as you were talking, you know what came to mind because you said it? You said, I've seen God move. If there will be a part two to a book, it should be that title. I've seen God move, because now you watch God move. And her, she has 10 topics, you guys. Let me just go ahead and call those topics out to you. The storm is passing over. The power of prayer. I'm still standing. Don't quit. Letting go. I got joy. Our children have a voice. Mighty men of valor. Virtuous woman. And number 10, ending with, watch God move. And I like that because she said number 10, she's going to show you the process of just learning how to watch God move. And that means that's a faith walk right there. Watch God move. Your bills due, you don't have the money, maybe you're in a divorce, seem like everything is helter shelter, and there's just no answers. There's more questions than answers. There's a process of leaning and depending totally on God and not on the devices of man, furniture, food, and all that stuff. Yes, we need these entities to survive. These are contributors, like I was mentioned earlier, for making you happy and all that. But at the end of the day, I want somebody to hear me. You have to exercise your faith walk in God. Watch God move on your behalf. Anita, I love the book. Can you tell us where our listening audience can get your book? And I know it's not released yet, but it's going to be released. Can you give us a release date and where we can go to order your book?
Yes, it will be released in August. And I just secured a publisher. I'm going with Sister Garthy Goins. And she has expressed it publications through much prayer. That's who the Lord led me to go with, and we finalized that today. So I have a release date of August the 28th. I was going with my birthday, but, you know, I have to be obedient to God. I can't rush this process. I can't rush this process, and I need to make sure that I'm lined up with the appropriate person. And after looking at different publishers, I'm connecting with someone actually I grew up with who has experience that knows me personally. And so I've actually changed the date to the 28th of August instead of my birthday, the 15th. Because once again, it's not about me. It's not about me. And, 28 has significance. 28 talks about eternal life. It's salvation. That's what the number 28 means. And so if anything I want people to get from anything I say and do is salvation. It's about making sure that people walk away from anything I do and say that they know that there was a man named Jesus that died on a cross and rose. And so the date is significant because of the number and out of my obedience to God to make sure I do everything in excellence and not rush this process, although I'm excited that I'm finally moving forward. And for more information to pre-order the book, it is a faith walk for me. I'm actually stepping out and believing God to meet every need financially. And when I tell you he's doing it so far, he's doing it. And he's doing it, in a mighty way. And my website where you can go to pre-order the book to help me finalize everything for the August release date of August the 28th is ArnitaDeShields.com. That's ArnitaDeShields.com.
Awesome. Anita, I know, I believe in my heart, I perceive this so strongly that someone is listening and somebody may have gone through a divorce, somebody have a book in them. They're very much hesitant or afraid to start that book because they're looking at the negative. Maybe you don't have the money. Maybe I need signs and all that. Or maybe somebody on the brink of just giving up. And like you, that butterfly on the tip of your finger, they're so close to their breakthrough and don't know it. What words of encouragement would you offer them today?
I would tell them to follow their dream and make it reality because God has ordained all of us. He's gifted all of us and given us talents. And I pray in the name of Jesus that he will stir up your gifts and your talent, and that you will run this race, and that you will finish your course, and that there will be nothing blocking you or stopping you, that you will go forth in all authority over every enemy and every demon that will try to hinder you. And I pray that every knee will be met according to his riches in glory, because there is nothing to offer him. There is nothing, nothing that is impossible with God. So you be encouraged, my sister. You be encouraged, my brother. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. I don't care how many people that's with you. I don't care how many people say you can't do it. I don't care how many people that said you are not worthy. I don't care what you went through in your past, how many sins you committed. God is a loving God. He is a forgiving God. And he wants you to go forth. He needs more soldiers on the battlefield. He needs you to be on point doing his will. And so a lot of times what I do, and this has been my prayer, Lord, your will be done, not mine. Get me out the way. And when you start to get out the way, then God will do and show up in ways that you could never think, dream, or even imagine.
Yes.
So I want you to start taking steps. Take baby steps. Do something every day. And then when you start doing it every day, you're getting it done. And before you know it, you're going to have a finished product. And then you can actually go back and look through life and say, Lord, was there something else that you gave me to do and I finished it? And I guarantee you, you will see that you finished something in the past. And if he could do it in the past, he could do it in the present, because he is a God that doesn't change.
That's
so
right.
I say, run, my sister, with your vision. Write it down, make it plain, and then run with it. Don't look back, but continue to move forward in him.
Yes. There you have it, you guys. An hour and a half has come to an end. We had some powerful guests. The beginning of the show was Bishop George Bloomer, and in the middle of it, the meeting. Oh, my goodness, Nakima T. Lee. And, of course, ending it, Anita DeShields. We're talking about Watch God Move. Wow, powerful. And much success on your book, May It Become Restless Upon Shelves. And I know it's going to greatly motivate, encourage, and inspire many, Anita. I really believe that in my heart. So thank you for joining us. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you, and I love you, my sister, with the love of the Lord. And may you continue to excel in everything you do, and God's hands be upon you forevermore.
Amen. I receive it. And may the God of our Father increase you 1,000 times more than what you are. God bless you. There you go, guys. The hour has come, hour and a half. So he's saying hour has come and gone. I knew that I had to extend this showcase. We had some powerful individual on a mission for the kingdom of God. I want to admonish you yet again. This showcase is going to be downloaded. It's going to be made of demand upon demand. Within, give me about 15, 20 minutes. We're going to have this thing up and running. I want you to share it. Go on yourself. Download it. You can go here if you have not really followed us. You're doing yourself a disservice. Come over here to the Certain Ones and follow us, so you'll be appraised on our guests and our events and all that. www.blogtalkradio.com/the Certain Ones. And you guys, I'm not throwing anything, but I'm going to tell you this right now. Next week is going to be powerful. Got some awesome guests again coming next week on the Certain Ones Radio Blog Talk Show. And I say this with the spirit of humility. This is what we do here at the Certain Ones. We want to inspire you like tonight. We want to inform you and motivate you. And that's why we started our YouTube channel again. You're going to be seeing visuals. We're going to be doing Google Chats with some of our guests. Yes, they up the party. They want to go ahead and do Google Chat with us. And we want to talk to you. Now, our viewing, not only listening audience, but our viewing audience. God is doing great things. And I'm so in alignment with Anita. We walk in the spirit of excellency here. I want to invite you to go over to our magazine site, which is www.thecertainonemagazine.com. And, of course, I've mentioned YouTube, just backslash the certain one, and you'll find us. And hit that subscribe button so you can be informed what's going on in not only my life, the Certain One life, but that of our guests' lives. We have some prolific, profound, powerful guests, as you witnessed here tonight. So, you guys, you know how we do here on the Certain Ones Block Talk Radio Show. If no one told you that they love you yesterday, tomorrow, last year, guess what? You are hearing it here first on the Certain Ones Block Talk Radio Show. We love you with the love of the Father. Until then, let's go get it.
The Certain One Talk Show, aspiring to inspire. To find out more about the talk show with your host, Vanessa Richardson, you may log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/thecertainones.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/thecertainones.com. Thank you for tuning in to this week's show with Vanessa Richardson, inspiring author and playwright.